Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Well, good morning. Yes, let's give it up for these guys. Man, welcome. Welcome. Hey, we got Metro in the house as well. Yes, we're so glad you guys are here. If you're a guest here, we are in a series that we kicked off last week. Actually, Kristen Young from Metro did an amazing job. Yes, she did. Amazing job just kicking us off. And so we're going to continue talking about that. And I think it's really ironic, too, that we're talking about this idea of like the tension that we live in between, right? We wanted to be this person, but we're actually this person. And so, hey, if you are wanting to like experience community and friends, and you're like, I don't have any people in my life or the right people in my life, this morning is Community Sunday, too. Yes, it is. Community Sunday, both campuses. And so we'd love to get you plugged in. Also, if you are on live stream, guess what? We can get you plugged in. We'll figure it out, people. We'll get you social status, something. We'll do something digitally to help you out. We'll do something. Yeah. But hey, glad you guys are here. This is week two of the series. And I want to talk to you about something in particular, which is, again, ironic, though, that it's this week, because I want to talk to you about words. And what I realized is that last week, when Kristen Young kicked off the series, she actually made you cuss in church. Did you guys know that? Yeah. You guys know the word? What? Holy what? Holy scubalon. Yes, yes. Metro is having a great time. Whatever. Okay. Holy scubalon, which sounds a lot like holy something else. Don't say the word. Don't say the word. Okay? Don't say the word. Yeah, but because she was talking about the Greek word, and it actually means garbage and dung, and it's accurate. But then I got thinking. You know, I know a couple of ladies who have kind of a mouth. Any guys know anybody like that? Any guys, Leonardo? A courageous man right here, sitting next to his wife. Anyway, so I Googled, hey, who has the genders, who cusses more? Like statistically, do men or women, is it women who have a worse mouth, you know, use foul language? I found out this. Actually, let me just poll you guys. What do you guys think? What do you guys think? Male or female? Women. Metro, yell it out. Okay. No football. No, the context does not matter, man. Okay, what's wrong is wrong, yes? Anyways, but so statistically, it's true. Since the 1990s, women have started cussing more. It's about 500% more. Come, Lord Jesus, you know what I'm saying? We're tired. We're tired. I'm a mom. Hey, you know what? I get it. Whatever. Hey, listen. Guys, we have hard lives too, right? Okay, you know what? This is not going well at all. It's not going well. Hey, let's talk about Jesus. Okay. Yeah. So we're actually gonna talk about words. We are gonna talk about words. But I'll tell you what. I want to admit this though, is that the reason why I talk about this is that a couple of weeks ago I was doing something. I don't know where it was. It was in traffic. It was in my car. I don't know exactly what happened. Anywho, something came out of my mouth, okay? A word came out of my mouth, and it's not like I've never used the word before, okay? Let's just be real here, okay? You're like, you're a pastor, whatever, okay? Don't judge me. Something came out of my mouth. A word came out of my mouth, and I'm not gonna mention what it was. It was definitely not scubalon, that's for sure. And I stopped, and I went, ooh, hold up. I actually stopped. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I actually said, whoa, 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 Naeem. Hello. Now, again, it's not like I've not used the word, but most of the time I use that word, it's extremely intentional. I'm in control of the word. But this time, it just came out. It was like a default. It was like, boom, just came out. And I'm like, I don't like that. I don't like that. Because you know and I know that sometimes things can come out of our mouth and we're like, where did this come from? Right? And you know, we know where it came from. It came from inside. It came from inside. It didn't come out from there or there. No, it came from within, right? And so I want to talk to you about the power of words, and I want you to realize this big idea, that words have the power to create the world in and around us. So I'm sure we all know about the power of words. We've all had negative words. We've all used negative words. We've used foul language. We've used dirty words. I mean, come on, let's just be honest here. But they have the power to create the world in and around us. And so that's why we have to have a conversation about this. Because we want to live a particular kind of life, but then also us is this person who is like, you know, it's me, I love Jesus, also me, cusses a little, right? But the problem is that it's not surfaced. The words have the power to control and create the world in, within us, and around us. And so I want to talk to you about the power of what? The power of words. And I want you to also know this, okay? So last week, Kristen did do a great job, and she gave us a definition about grace. And I want us to make sure we start with that in mind, because I want to have a hard conversation, but I do want you to understand that grace is important, okay? And so she quoted something, and she said this. She said, grace is God's power acting on in my life to accomplish what I cannot accomplish, what? On my own. It's God's power acting in my life to accomplish what I cannot accomplish on my own. Because the truth is that when it comes to our words, the scriptures are very clear about the fact that how much that we need to be intentional with them. James, the book of James, gives a lot of words to this. You know, he talks about it a lot. And I'm going to read you a couple passages, but let me read you this one in particular. It's in chapter 3. It's the paraphrased Message translation. It says this. This is scary. He starts off. This is scary. You can tame a tongue. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a what? Tongue. It's never been done. Never been done. The tongue runs wild. With our tongues, we bless God, our Father, and with the same tongue, we curse the very men and women He made in what? In His image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. And then he says this, and help me out, Metro, everybody, live stream. My friends, let's say my friends. Say it with me. My friends, say it again. My friends, this can't go on. This can't go on. So, with God's grace, knowing that the words create the world in and around us, let's have a conversation about this. Because there are so many things we can say, but I believe words reveal several things. I'm giving you three things. And it's something for us to kind of talk about and wrestle through, because we all have our own, we all have our days, we all have our different seasons, and we all have trigger points that cause us to get in a really terrible mood and things come out of our mouth. I mean, we're all unique when it comes to that. But I believe that these three things will allow us to kind of just ponder, hey, let's see what we can do here. Let's really look into this a little bit. So they reveal three things. Number one, what we have allowed in. What we have allowed in our lives. Let me draw something for you, okay? We're going to play some Pictionary, okay? Who's for that, okay? So we're going to start off. It depends, though. It depends on my drawing, but let's try this, okay? So, okay, tell me what you think here. Okay. I haven't even, one second here, okay, let's see here, okay, let's do this, anybody have a clue what's happening here? Ooh, yes, you guys are sharp people here. Okay, we got a wall here, okay, and then I'm going to draw something here, okay, a wall and a, okay, let's, folks, hold up. A gate. Yes. A gate, right? This is a gate. Got it. Okay. Now, why is this so important? Okay. So let me read you this passage of scripture here. It's in Isaiah. Isaiah 60 says this. Now, this is God illustrating something, and He's talking about blessing, and He's talking about the quality of life that Israel's experiencing. And He starts off and He says this. He says, although you have been forsaken and hated, with no one traveling through. I will make you an everlasting pride and joy for all generations. And then he says, you will drink the milk of nations. I mean, again, he's using a lot of words to illustrate some things, blessings, you know. And you will be, okay, this is, I had to leave this in. And you will be nursed at royal breasts. I know, middle school all over again, right? But hey, okay, where were we? Yes, royal breasts. Okay, then, this is not me. Blame God. Okay. Or the dude who wrote this, I'm not quite sure. Okay, then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And then he goes on, he says, no longer will violence be heard in your land or ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates, what? Praise. Now what's really profound about this is that God says when it comes to your life, I just want you to understand something, that I'm like this wall, right? I'm this wall around your life, okay? And I will protect you and keep you. And your life will be protected, but my salvation. It's like I'm going to do my part. I'm going to have a wall of fire around you. I'll protect you. I'll give you, I'll make sure your life is secure, okay? And that's my part. But then, and you can call that salvation. It's a gift. It's salvation. But when it comes to the gate you will call what? Praise, which is your responsibility. It's not mine. It's yours. And praise usually comes from what? Your words, your mouth. As if God was illustrating something. He says, listen, if you're experiencing something in your life that you're wondering, why are you experiencing stuff inside your walls, inside your life, inside your home, inside your workplace, inside your heart, soul, mind, inside your spirit. If you're experiencing something and you're going, why am I living like this? How am I living this way? Why do I have to keep experiencing this? He's saying, if you're experiencing all those things and you're praying to me about the things that are wrong and the things that are not comfortable and the things that you're living with, let me just tell you, I am the wall of salvation, but you are the gate, and you've left it wide open by your words, because your praise is your gate. You've allowed certain things in your life, and I know you want to pray and I'll do the best, but you have a responsibility, and that is to open and shut the gate. And for some of us, I get this. I mean, I totally get this. Like, life hits us so hard, and sometimes we allow certain things into our lives because, I mean, sometimes grief and sometimes tragedy gives us new language, right? It changes our definitions. We begin to use words we've never used before. Like, you know, like I'm divorced. Like that's a whole different word you've never lived with. You have now new names. You have now new language. And so sometimes I get it, that life or situations and hard times allow us to open the gate up, and our praise changes, and our praise is controlled by us, but we allow certain things in our life. But when you allow certain things in your life that are not good for you, it wreaks a havoc. Why? Because words, what, create the world in and around us. They just do. Ephesians 4 says this. It says, watch the way you talk, which is interesting. Watch. Not listen. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Don't, he keeps on going. This is, it says, don't grieve what? Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. As if God was saying, your words, your, like, because you're responsible for this, you're allowing certain things in your life and they're crowding out my Holy Spirit. And so you're wondering and praying about peace and peace and peace and peace and peace, but by your words, you're allowing anxiousness and stress into your life. But you pray for peace, shut the door. Just shut the door. Just don't let it. I gotta tell you, I mean, like, just being real here, like, I like all kinds of music, and there are certain music I like to listen to when I'm doing certain things. right? So, you know, when it comes to writing messages, I will listen to Bollywood music, okay? I just will. I just will. Maybe even running, I'll do that. It depends on what kind. I'll listen to Arabic hip-hop music, which is kind of cool too, especially from the 90s. Just telling you. Okay? But then, just keeping it real, when I'm working out or something like that, or I'm at the gym and they play all kinds of like soft music, I'm like, what are you doing? I need something that's angry. I want a person who's angry singing. I want that. Do you know what I'm saying? I just want anger. I want like, I'm gonna boom, just stuff. Just stuff. I would never let my daughter listen to any of that stuff. No. Ooh. And I'm hoping Jesus doesn't show up in my gym. That's what I'm hoping, because he'd be blushing. You know, we're the same. Your playlist, oh Jesus. What in the world? Yeah, you look all sweet and all, but when they listen to what you're, what? You're listening to what? You little thug, what? What are you doing? What are you doing? You live in the suburbs. You can't listen to that kind of stuff. What do you think you are? Oh, what? No. 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 A little gangster. Going to Target? No. No. You're not. But we've allowed. Check this out. We've allowed, because you know, you understand this. Words we listen to, words we sing, music we listen to or sing, what they give us, they put us in a mood, right? And we want to feel a certain way. Why? Because words create worlds, what? In us and around us. And God's saying, number one, look at the words, look at your language, look at your gossip, look at all the things you're saying. I'm not talking about these are the five words I don't use. No, no, no. Look at the tone. Look at the ugliness that's coming out of your mouth. By the way, it's a gate. All I'm saying, it's a gate. You're letting it in. And some of us have let in all kinds of nonsense. You know this. I know this. And God's saying, hey, I know me, also me, but let's do this. Let's figure this out. And the next thing is this. Is number two, God, words allow us or reveal to us how we use them. So we'll do play a little Pictionary again, okay? Okay? So how we use our words. You're like, I use my words all kinds of ways. Yeah, I know, it's true. It's so true. It's so true. But, okay, let me draw something here. Let's do this. I'll do it bigger right here. Okay, anybody know what this is? Anybody know what this is? Okay, think surgical stuff. Oh, hey, scalpel. You guys are amazing. Yes. Yes. Does not look like a lighter. Whatever. Okay. Okay. I don't know. I thought I heard that. Okay. A scalpel. So a couple of years ago, I was at a church service, and this was like a super charismatic church. And what I mean by that is that the guy was actually doing a like prophecy stuff. Like, so while he was talking, he was like looking to people, and he would pray over them, or he'll say a word, give them like words, you know, give them a word. It's usually encouraging. But sometimes you never know, depending on the church, if it's going to go south or not. Honestly, right? Because I've been in some really freaky-dicky churches, and you're like, get away from here. Like, I got to... Have you ever been to a church experience? You're like, oh, we have to leave right now. Oh, something's about to happen. The problem is you walked in and the person saw you and now you're afraid. If they might call you out. You're like, oh my gosh. It wasn't that bad. This service wasn't that bad. But because of who I am and what I look like, I'm like, I need to be, you know, just not deep. I want to be in the back. I want to be in the back, okay? I want to be in the back with a hoodie on, which is not even a good idea for me. But anyways, I just wanna experience. Don't call attention to me. I just wanna be here, bro. Okay, so everything's going good until he sees me. Now, my plan was don't make eye contact, but son of a gun, he did it. He was like, sir, sir. And at that point I was like, dude, I am gonna go full foreign with him. Like I don't speak the language. Not doing this, right? I'm just gonna like That's the immigrant look, by the way. Like, it's not. It is. And so he's like, sir, can you stand up? And I was like, sir, I know you're a pastor. And he said it. Sir, I know you're a pastor. I was like, who told him I'm a pastor? This isn't Jesus telling him. I'm not. Okay. I was like, hey. All right, so I stood up. And he was so nice. He was so kind. And he gave me one of the best compliments, and I've kept it. I'm like, this is a good one. And he said, sir, I know you're a pastor and you speak and all that, and I just want to encourage you that, you know, most people use their words as swords, but you use your words as a scalpel. And I was like, tell me more. Yes, keep it coming, you know, record this thing, you know. But he was so nice about it. He was like, he said, and then when he was done, I kind of started thinking about the fact that most of us, when it comes to our words, we, because of our context, sometimes we use our words to defend or and protect, right? Defend and protect and or attack. And because of the context we grew up in or whatever, our words are always like defensive. They're like you know, so they're harsh. They're harsh. And so they end up being like swords. Swords. And the problem is, when you remove that context, you still do it. Like, see, if you're filled up with like the sense of stress, like your people are going to attack you. Like, have you ever been in a conversation and you're trying to talk to this person and you're like, dude, I'm not trying to say anything bad, and they're just on the defensive? It's because they've been attacked so much, they're just ready with it. They're just ready, right? And you've been in conversations, right? You've been in conversations where you get off the phone and you're drained, right? Or they ripped you what? Apart. With what? With their words. Because they're used to swords. And here's what happens. When we do that, we honestly show the next generation to do the same. And so we allow our kids to just rip each other apart. And we tolerate it. And it's okay. And so our words become swords. And we do this in every level. And the scriptures are saying, no. Use your words as a scalpel. And scalpels is, again, it's a knife. It's a knife. It does all those things except like intentionally attack. Yeah, a scalpel actually is used to heal. A surgeon uses it to heal, to cut away the things that are not good. And that's what the scriptures are, to cut away the stuff, to actually bring healing. Here's what the scriptures say in Proverbs. It says in Proverbs 12, the words of the reckless pierce like what? Swords. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. You know this, and I know this. You know, in church world, we understand the idea of honoring God's presence, right? Like, we do this because we come into this place, and we come into Metro, and you're like, okay, I'm in a holy place, or I have to at least kind of get in the zone here. We understand the idea of practicing God's presence, but there is a reality of practicing the human presence as well. There's something to be at awe in when a human comes in. And then you're thinking, oh, I know too many humans. And I get that. I understand that. But we know that you and I are made in His image. And there's a sense of awe. There's a sense of like, okay, I got to be careful with my words. You know, when it comes to the scalpel, if you notice, if you don't know this, but so when surgeons, when they're training, they're learning to operate. After all their studies, they actually begin to operate, and they use not real bodies. They use what? Cadavers. Right, because even though you know everything, it's so, and the human body is so precious, they practice on cadavers. We, with our words, are like soul surgeons. I've talked to pastors about this before, how you get training, you get seminary, you get whatever, you get a call and all that, and all of a sudden you take your words and you just go and you wreak havoc. And when doctors actually use their actual expertise on dead people, and then when you're good at that, then you can actually heal the living. Just imagine if we put that much emphasis on the power of words. And you know, and I know, the reason why people reject Jesus and they are not flocking to churches everywhere, it's not because of Jesus' words. It's because of ours. Because we've used to attack and not cut away, not heal. Okay, I can just keep on going, right? Keep on going with this. Because, I mean, you got to decide at some point, are you going to teach your kids to use their words to conquer or to care for people, to bully or to bless people? You're going to have to pick. But how do we use them? Okay, number three, who we worship. Who we worship. Words reveal to us who we worship. Okay, so I just gave you a clue. We're going to go back to Pictionary here. Give you a clue here. So, who we worship, right? Who we worship. So let's see, what is this? Oh, yes. See, I wasn't even done. Someone said throne. Sir, you're amazing. Or is it me? Is it my skill? No, it's not. Okay, we'll just do this. Yeah, a throne. Who is on the throne? What does that look like? What does that mean? Let me read you this this passage you might have heard before in a song. It comes from Psalms 22. It says this, "You are holy," talking about God. He says, "You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." You are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Some people have said God is enthroned or inhabits the praise of his people. We've heard this before. Here's the question. If God is enthroned by our praises, who is enthroned by your curses? If God says, your words are so beautiful, so powerful, when you praise, when your words are sweet, when your words are true and graceful, when your words are beautiful, when your words seem like praises, I just want to, it elevates me. I sit on that throne. I'm enthroned by the words that are coming out of your mouth. But I know there are days where Jesus looks at my words and he goes, I'm not sitting on that. I am not sitting on that, because those don't enthrone, that doesn't give me any credit. That doesn't point to me. That is not worship to me. I do not sit on curses. I do not sit on foul language. I do not sit on ugliness. I do not sit on gossip. I do not sit on that. I am not enthroned by those things. I do not sit on those. And so it points to who we truly worship. And for some of us, we love it. We love our mouth. What I mean by that is, you know what I'm talking about. You're like, dude, but I'm so creative. I'm a genius. I can put words together and, oh my gosh, it's amazing. It's hilarious too. I get all of those. I get all that. But God's like, I'm not sitting on that though. I'm not enthroned by that at all. James actually just goes like straight to the heart. He goes, if you claim to be religious, but you don't control your tongue, you are what? You're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Like, he's like, I'm not even gonna waste my time on that. It doesn't count to anything. It doesn't amount to anything. If you can't do that, it's worthless. And you know, and I know, that the problem with our world right now, when it comes to the movement of Jesus, is the words that we've used. And we've used words to separate people. It's our God, not your God. You're far away from God. We're near. We're called. You're apparently not called. We just use words to continue to divide and continue to do to make these boundaries. That's why I love our big message is hope for what? All. And I got to tell you, not everybody's cool with that message. They're not fundamentally cool with that, because they fundamentally believe that it's hope for some. And so there is no God so loved the world. God so loved their world or their country. No, friends, it's not that. But we've created the world we live in, right? We've created the world in and around us. And so what do? I think as a church, we need to reclaim words. We need to reclaim the language of God that invites people in. And as for some of you, as a follower of Jesus, you have to look at what world these words do. I get it. We all struggle with it. I get it. We all have bad days. I get all of those things. And I don't want to be religious. And I don't want to be like, hey. No. Let's make a list of words we cannot say. It's not about that at all. Because I have met the sweetest people who've never said a curse word that have daggers coming out of their mouth. They leave people in bloody messes. And you know this. You know this. You've had people in your life and you still go back to the memory. They said something and they didn't use a dirty word, but it was an ugly label. And you're living it out. Friends, words have power beyond our imagination. Because they create the world in us and around us. So what do? We gotta go. Okay, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And then there are some of us who are just seekers trying to figure out this God thing. And I you've never said these words. Jesus, I give you my life. And those words will change your life. They'll change your life. They will absolutely change your life. And maybe you're like, oh, Naeem, I'm not there yet. How about this? Jesus, show me who you are. That's it. This past weekend, I was in Ohio, and there was a Pakistani Muslim guy who showed up at church. And I was shocked, as everybody else was. And I talked to him before the service and then after the service. And usually it doesn't go well because I'm an ex-Muslim, which means like Muslims, you know, think of me as traitors, you know. So it's tough. But this guy was actually very open to a conversation. Well, I think part of it was because he's Pakistani and I'm Pakistani. And so when I found out, I just asked him, so are you Pakistani? He said, yeah. And then I just started in my language, Urdu. And his face was like, oh my gosh. In Ohio? What? And so our whole conversation, we never went back to English. And so in Urdu, I was like, you know what? Hey, what do we think of my story and all that? He was not sure about a lot of things. And I said, hey, what if you just prayed or just asked God to show himself? Why don't you ask Jesus to just show himself? And I said, you don't have to be convinced of anything. Just say that. And he was like, okay, I'm down with that. I said, all right, let's do it now. And he was like, okay. And I was like, all right. And man, the power of those words. I don't know what happened after that because I didn't, you know, we had to leave. But those words will change, they changed my life. They'll change yours. So let's pray and choose your words carefully. Father, we thank you. We want to have words that you would be proud to sit on. We want to have words that give you the highest seat of honor. Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. God, I know I struggle. I know my friends do. We have life, and the ugliness of life just filters into our souls at times. And we have so much anger and regret at times, and we have so much stress, so much worry, so much pain, so much sadness that our words reflect this torment within us. God, allow us to be empowered by your grace. Allow us to control our hearts and minds. Show us what we've allowed in. Show us how we use our words. And show us who we worship. And God, for some of us, our prayer today is this: Jesus, show me who you are. And for others, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I give you my life. God, we thank you for that. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.